Boker Tov, we continue on with our assessment of the first Mishnah. And the next clause in the Mishnah, we are on Daf Dalet Amud Bet. The next clause in the Mishnah is Ve'en osin ugiyot lagafanim. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to make ugiyot for vines. My ugiyot, so what are these ugiyot? They are not cookies. Amar Rav Yehuda Banke. So what are Binke? What are these? These are little ditches underneath the vines where the vines are rooted in the ground. Evidently something the Gaonim understand is that it's a certain type of a hoe, and the holes that are made with that kind of a hoe are also called bididin. If you'd allow the people of his town it's a particular family, to make binke for their vineyards on Chol HaMoed. So lokasha habachadati habatike. And there's an important distinction, is to redig or to widen holes that are already there is mutar. The problem is making new ones, and that we prohibit. Good. The next clause in the Mishnah is the discussion between Rav Elazar and Azariah, the dispute between Rav Elazar and Azariah and the Chachamim about making a new ditch, a new irrigation channel on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. So Belazim and Azariah says you're not allowed to do it at all. Chachamim say that you may not do a new one on Chol HaMoed, but you could fix an old one and you could make a new one even on Shemitah. So Bishlam on Moed, I understand why there's an issue on Chol HaMoed. Shum Lekotarach, you're working hard. Elashvit, my time, but what problem could there possibly be of making an irrigation channel during Shemitah? After all, you're not, this has nothing to do with planting. So, Pligubar, Bizeirav, or Biababar, Mamal. You have this machlok. Charam, our nation, Ereke, Odeir, one of them, we don't know which one, said, it looks like you are hoeing, working the land, because you're digging a ditch. Charam, our nation, Machshir, Agapeha, Lizriah. Because in matter of fact, it's not what it looks like, but in matter of fact, you are making the banks that you are digging now able to be planted, because essentially you're turning over the earth as you pile higher ground, higher dirt on the banks. It might be nice. What's the difference between the two reasons? So the first attempt is ikimenayu de ka'atu maya batre. If the water is immediately coming as soon as you're digging it, then it's quite clear that you are not trying to do any hoeing. So it doesn't look like hoeing, but on the other hand, you still are preparing the banks. So, now the question is, so how come in a circumstance like that, whichever Amora says that the problem is that it looks like hoeing, so here it doesn't look like hoeing because you're digging it out, and as you're digging it out, you're throwing the dirt up on top, and the water is coming through, so it's clear that you're digging a channel, but he should still be concerned about the other concern, which is that you're preparing the banks for planting. If you take the dirt and instead of piling on the side, you throw it out, away from things, then it's quite clear you're not preparing the banks for anything. So it may look like you are hoeing the ground, but it does not necessarily look like you're preparing the banks for Zriah. But now that's not so clear, because why don't we have the flip? Is that the opinion that says that you're preparing the banks should here be concerned about hoeing? So the answer is, Oder namiki kashaka b'duchte monachle. When you hoe, you keep the dirt right in the spot. You don't move it up. So here, if you pick it up and throw it off the banks, then indeed it's not Oder either. So the truth is that there's not a difference. In this case, everybody would agree that it's okay. Now, Amemar matni lam nishin ereka Oder. Amemar learned that the reason for the Mishnah was like the one opinion is that it looks like hoeing. Which means that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you're not allowed to do something on Shemitah that looks like hoeing. V'kashlo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and he then identified a contradiction within the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, between two rulings of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, both having to do with Shemitah. And the obvious point is that in one place he seems to be concerned with whether or not an activity looks like hoeing, and another one, he doesn't seem to have that concern. Since when did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say anything that looks like hoeing is a problem? We're meaning we have a challenge. You're allowed to take fertilizer on Shemitah and make a pile of it, just to pile it up. Meir says, unless you build a stand 3 tefachim high off the ground, or dig a ditch 3 tefachim deep, so that it is clear that you're not fertilizing the ground, but you're just storing it. Until you do that, it's asur. Hayalo davar muad. If you have just a little bit, mosif alav holech. Then you can add to what's already there. Rabbi Elazar Azari omer ad shiyamik shlosha o ad shiyagbiya shlosha o ad shiyiten al hasela. Rabbi Elazar Azari says also you have to dig a hole, even if you only have a small bit, or you can put it on top of a rock. But what that means, Rabbi Elazar Azari allows you to dig a ditch on Shemitah in order to put your fertilizer in there, and he's not concerned that it looks like hoeing. So the simple answer to this would be that perhaps that means that the real reason for the prohibition on Shemitah is because you're preparing the banks for planting. So Rabbi Zerah, Rabbi Abba Bar Memel, our two Amoraim, Chanamar Kegon Sheha Emik, one of them will say, it's not talking about a case where he's saying you're allowed to dig a ditch, but if you dug a ditch, then the ditch was already there, then you can put the fertilizer in. The other one says, no, the very fact that you're putting fertilizer in there proves that you're not trying to plant, and therefore there is no concern that it looks like hoeing. In other words, in the case with digging the irrigation channel, all people see is that you're digging up the ground. But here you're digging the ground, immediately putting fertilizer in, everybody understands that you are not trying to hoe, and therefore the concern doesn't apply here. So that's, we've solved the contradiction. Now, the next line in the Mishnah, the Chachamim said you're allowed to fix a damaged channel on Chol HaMoed. My Mikul Kelet, what does damaged mean? Let's say it's normally 6 tefachim deep, and it's gotten filled up with junk so that it's only 1 tefach high. That's Mikul Kelet. You can clear it out and clean out those 5 tefachim. Shita, now, taking that ratio, we do the following. Chatzi tefach al shlosha tefachim, if it's normally 3 tefachim deep. And now it's only half a tefach deep. Yevandolo avar maya, since 3 tefachim is not really going to allow water to pass through very well anyways, lo klumu, there's no reason to do it because you're going to work and get no gain from it. So therefore, you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Now, the opposite ratio, the opposite use of the same ratio, tefachim al shnei masav, let's say you have one that's normally 12 tefachim deep, and it's 2 tefachim right now. The katara achtircha yeteira, here, if you dig it all the way down to the bottom, you're working extra more than is necessary. Lo, that's easy. The real question is the following. And as we started by saying, 1 to 6 is fine. Half to 3 is not okay because you don't accomplish anything. And 2 to 12 is not okay because it's too much work. But what about this? Tfachayim al shivam mahu. Now we leave the ratio behind and go to the actual differential. The differential between 1 and 6 is 5 tefachim. In other words, you have to dig 5 tefachim out, and that we allow. What if it's normally 7 tefachim, and now it's only 2 tefachim, which means you're still digging 5, but you're digging more than necessary. Hacha chamisha kamamik, hacha chamisha kamamik. In each case, you're digging 5. Odil mekema de'ika tefach yetera, because here you're digging an extra tefach, ika tirchatfe, that's too much work, and the answer is teku. We really can't solve that problem. Now, a few stories of Amoraim who allow different methods of cleaning out a ditch, a channel. Abaya Shar Levinei Bar Hamdach, that particular family, the Shachufei Nahara, to clean out the trees that were to get the branches out of a tree that were in that were stuck in the river. B'yirmi Yashar Levinei Sachvata Lemichra Nahara Tamima. Rabbi Yirmi allowed the people of Sachota to cut open an opening to the river or to the channel that had been closed up. Rashi Sharlahu Levnei Matamachsia Lakduche Nahar Burnitz. He allowed the people in Matamachsia to clear out a heavy rock from this Nahar Burnitz, and then Amar, Kevan Shatu Minei Rabim, since a lot of people drink from this river, Kerabim Dami. That makes this river a public river, which we're going to discuss very soon. With Tanano, sin called Sekharabim, and the Mishnah says you can do anything for the public. All public needs should be taken care of. And by the way, not just can, but must be taken care of. And therefore he said that in any case we could clean out this river. So there's sort of two reasons to do it. First of all, because you're allowed to Latakena Tamukul Kalat Bamoed, and second of all, Sokharabim. Good. Now the next clause in the Mishnah, you're allowed to fix messed up water carriers, whether it's sewage or whether it's drinking water, in the public area. Now, chatita in. The implication is you can clear it out, chafir alo, but you can't dig it out. In other words, stuff is stuck in there, trees, rocks, whatever, you can clear it out. Riyakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan Loshanu Ela She'en Rabbim Tzrichim Lahem. So he puts a stipulation, and this is going to twist a little bit as we get through this half Amud. He says that this is only if the public doesn't need it. That, then we're limited to cleaning it out and not digging. Aval Rabbim Tzrichim Lahem Afilu Chafira Mutar. So his first position, this is Rabbi Yochanan's first position, is that if it's public need, then you can even dig it out. Since when are you allowed to do that? We're allowed to clear out cisterns and caverns, etc., of an individual. And certainly public ones. You're not allowed to dig those of the public. And certainly not the private one. Now, we assume an analogy between the private and public sectors in this braita. My love, the Sharabim Tzrichim Lahem, aren't we talking about a case where even though the public needs them, we still can't dig them out? Lo, the Sha'in Rabbim Tzrichim Lahem. We're talking about a case where the public doesn't need it. In other words, there are other sources of water. Public doesn't need it. But then that means that in the first clause where you said you're allowed to do it of a private individual, so if that's the case, then you're going to play it back to the first half of the Braita. We're talking about the individual's area, and the individual's area you're saying is when even the individual doesn't need it? Since when are you allowed to do anything if nobody needs it? You're allowed to bring water in there. You're not allowed to clean them up. You're not allowed to smooth over the bumps on the side. But if it's a public one, you can clean it out and clean out the side. Which means this must be talking about a case where nobody needs the water. And therefore you see that in our Braita, when you're allowed to clean out the private one, that's when the individual needs the water. So when you're allowed to dig the public one, when you're allowed to clean out the public one, that's even when the public needs the water. You're still not allowed to dig one. So we have to explain the first Braita as a case where the individual does need it. So therefore parallel, where the public needs it, and all you're allowed to do, chafir miyasir, and all it said was you're allowed to clean it out. But wait a second, chafir miyasir, since when are you not allowed to dig if the public needs it? Private caverns and cisterns, etc., you're allowed to clean up, but you're not allowed to smooth over the bumps. But public ones, you're allowed to dig them and to plaster them. So now the Braita that we just brought him a couple minutes ago is challenged on sort of as a sandwich. It's challenged by our first statement, and it's challenged by this one that says you're allowed to dig out public cisterns. So Tari Tachi, read it as follows. You're allowed to dig out private cisterns if the individual needs it. It's my cistern and I need it. Certainly you're allowed to clean out a public cistern if the public needs it. Because there you're even allowed to dig it. You're not allowed to dig out public cisterns if the public doesn't need them today. And certainly you can't do private ones. Because after all, if the individual doesn't need them, you're not even allowed to clean it out, certainly not to dig them. So that's how we have to put this all together. And yes, it's a little bit of a tortured read, but it's the only way to make all of this sit together. And then we end up with the following thing. If it's a private cistern and nobody needs it, you're not allowed to touch it. If it's a private cistern and the private guy needs it, then you're allowed to clean it out. And if it's a public one and the public needs it, then you're allowed to even redig it. Good. I'm Ravashi Matnita Nami Deka. Ravashi says you could even get this ruling for our Mishnah. If you read carefully enough, Diktani Osin Kol Tzorche Rabim, the end of the Mishnah says you can do all public needs. After we listed them all. Kol Latuye Mai, what's that kol including? Lav Latuye Chafira, isn't it coming to say you can even redig a well? Lo Latuye Haritanya, Yotzin Lekavetzat Adrachim, Taken Tarachovot Vate Yistrat Aot, Lamorot Amikvaot, etc. Meaning, Kol Tzorche Rabim is there to say other particular needs. You can go out to fix the roads and to measure the mikvaot. V'chol mikveh she'en bo 40 sa'ah, margilin tochar 40 sa'ah. And any mikveh that you find to be short of the 40 sa'ah, you can channel water to stream in there to fill it up to 40 sa'ah. You can fix it. Now that's, in other words, that's the Braita that says that the Beit Din goes out and takes care of all the public works on Chol HaMoed. And the Kol Tzorchei Rabim is there to include all these other things that aren't mentioned in the Mishnah, but not necessarily digging. Digging indeed is mutar if the public needs it, but not based on that phrase. Now, parenthetically, the Braita continues. How do I know that if the Beit Din does not go out and fix all these things, then anybody who trips and gets hurt in any which way as a result of their failure to fix the things, the responsibility is on the shoulders or on the head of the Beit Din. The pasuk, verse number one on the page, the pasuk relating to the obligation to make sure that innocent blood is not spilt in the land, it'll be on your head if you don't take care of that. But wait a second, that whole thing that you list in the Braita is already listed in the Mishnah, fixing the roads and fixing the mikvaot, which was essentially the Braita, already listed in the Mishnah besides the phrase Kol Tzorchei Rabim. So you see that the extra phrase in the Mishnah that you can do all public needs really is there to tell you that you can dig a new or redig a cistern that's needed for the public. Good. The last item we're going to deal with, and we do have ways to go on this item, is the issue of mitzaynin takvarot, that you're allowed to mark graves. The first bit of discussion we're going to have, which is going to take all the rest of the psukim on the page, and we'll deal with them, is about the very notion of marking a grave, and then the purpose for marking a grave, which is all the single purpose, but what the source is it is. Rishon ben Pazi, so he says the following. Remez l'tziyun kvarot min haTorah minayin. How do I know a hint from the Torah that I have to mark graves? Talmud Lamar, the problem is he said, where's a hint from the Torah? And he quotes Yechezkel. V'ra'ah etzem adam uvana etzlo tziyun. The man will see this bone of a person, a bone of a dead person. All right, you see the entire pasuk. V'avru ha'ovrim ba'aretz etzem adam uvana etzlo tziyun ad kovroto k'rim yogei hamon gog. This is in the war of Gog. If somebody's going to come through the land, they're going to see a dead person, they'll put a marker there until they can come back and bury him. So you put a tziyun, a marker. Amar Ravina Ravashi. So now Ravina asks Ravashi the following. So wait a second. You're telling me that this is a notion that's sort of midoraita. You're saying, what's the hint in the Torah? But it's only explicated 1,000 years or so after the Torah, 900 years after the Torah, by Yechezkel. So where was it in the meantime? It's an interesting methodological question. V'litamech, so Rashi answered back, and according to your question, Hadam Rav Chista, the Rashi taught Moshe Rabbeinu Lamadnu, Divrei Chezkel ben Buzi Lamadnu. It's a famous statement that we have in Masechet Yoma about Avodah, that we don't know from this law, that we don't know from the Torah, we know it from Yechezkel, which says, Kol ben Nechar, it's Pasuk 2 on the page, so Pasuk 3 on the page, Kol ben Nechar erel lei ve'erel basar le'avol mikdashi l'sharteni. Somebody who is uncircumcised of heart, in other words, there's a problem with his spirituality, and also who is uncircumcised, an orel, is not allowed to come and do the avodah. How do I know that an orel is pasul avodah? I know from this pasuk. So mikam leiti yechezkel manamar. So how did they know it before Yechezkel came along? The answer is quite simple. The gemara gemiri lavati yechezkel asmacha akra. The answer is they had a tradition, and then Yechezkel put it into a pasuk. So the same thing about marking graves was a notion that they always knew from the Torah. And Yechezkel came along and integrated into a pasuk in the prophecy about the days of Gog and Magog. Now, we continue on. He has a different source for how we know we have to mark a grave. This is the Metzora who goes out of the camp, calls out Tamei Tamei. What does that mean? The drush is Tuma Koralo. So merit lo prosh. So Tuma calls him and says, stay away from everything. Stay away from Tarot. Rabbi Uziel Rabba. Tuma koral merit lo prosh. Wait, v'hayla hachi yudata? Is Tamei Tamei Yikra really coming to say that you are instructed by Tuma, as it were, to avoid Taharot? We need Tamei Tamei Yikra for something else. Tzarech lo diya tzara l'rabim. He has to yell out, I'm Tamei, and we have to let people know he's Tamei, so people should daven for him. If that was the case, all I would have to say is Tamei once. Publicize that he's Tamei. Right? My Tamei, Tamei. Why did he say Tamei twice? So it teaches both that Tuma is calling him, and that he has to call out the fact that he's Tamei. Good. Abaye Amar Mihacha. Abaye has a different source. How we know we have to mark graves? You have to make sure to take stumbling blocks away from people. Somebody will walk there and they'll become Tamei, and then they'll touch Kodshim and they'll be with time in them, etc. Not good. Papa Amar Vyamar Solu Solu Panu Darech. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu says you have to clean out the way. Make a smooth way. Rav Chinah Amar, the end of that Pasuk is Harim Mikshol Miderech Ami. Take away any obstacles from the path of my nation. Again, make sure that people have a smooth way to go. As you could see on the page, there are these psukim are not all coming from the same direction. The first one of the chiyuv of the tziyun is clearly an independent chiyuv. These chiyuvim seem to be chiyuvim that are either related to avoiding to being metame other things, or this is part of the civic order. You have to set things up so people don't trip. Yitro's suggestion to Moshe, you have to have judges who will teach the people the way to go, right? The way to go that won't have graves in the middle that aren't marked. At the end of Parsha Metzora, says that you have to separate Am Yisrael from their Tumah. How do you do that? By marking it. This is a pasuk which is fundamentally, it's pasuk number 9, this is a pasuk that's fundamentally oriented towards the arayot and the avoiding any contact that's inappropriate. But the drasha ushmartem and mishmarti is asu mishmeret mishmarti. You put up your own guard to protect against what I've forbidden to you. Alright, Ravina Mar v'sam derech arenu b'yesha Elohim. This is a pasuk in Tehillim. It's the last pasuk on the page. It says, and place a way so that he can be saved. And place a way, make a way that he can see. Now, there's a drush on that. Shimon Levi called a sham or chotav. Anybody who plans out his way, sham, like measures or estimates his path, zochev rabbi yeshuatosh shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will end up seeing the Yeshua of Hashem shenamar, v'sam derech, al tikrei v'sam, elo v'sham derech. So read v'sam as v'sham. Somebody who estimates his way, who plans out his way, we'll see the Yeshua. Now we hear a beautiful story associated with that. Rabbi Yonai had a student who every day would challenge him with questions. But on the Shabbat of the Regel, when it was a public gathering, he wouldn't challenge him. In other words, he knew when to ask and when not to ask. You don't ask when your rabbi is standing in front of the entire congregation. You ask him when you're in the privacy of the intimate shir. So what did Rabbi Yonai say? He read the pasuk wrong. V'sham derech, with the drasha, saying this man will indeed see the Yeshua of Hashem. Remember hearing a story about Rabbi Kiva Eger Zatzal, one of the great gedolim of the 19th century, who would give shiur to his students, of course, every day. But on Shabbos, he gave a special shiur to the members of the community who were not nearly as learned. And he made a condition with his students that the students could come and listen to the shiur, but they couldn't ask any questions. He wanted this to be for the members of the community, the lay members of the community. And so one Shabbat afternoon, he was giving shiur, and the students were sitting in the back listening, and they were half listening because the shiur was of a relatively light level for them. And one of the members of the community asked a question, which is a very simple question to answer. The answer was right there on the page. They asked the question, and the students were half listening, and then there was silence. And the Rabbi Kiva Eger was engrossed in thought, and going back and forth, and the students were getting restless. They didn't understand why he didn't just answer the question right off. And he kept looking back and forth, and pacing, and furrowing, his head, and really in deep thought. And of course, the fellow asked the question was now on top of the world. He'd asked a question that had challenged the Gadol HaDor of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And finally, after about 5 minutes of this, Rabbi Kiva Eger said, "Ich weiß nicht, I don't know," closed the Gemara, and shiur was over. And this, Balabas, was on top of the world. He had asked a shiur breaker. That's a tremendous question. And he had busted the shiur of Rabbi Kiva Eger. So the students immediately rushed over to the Rebbe and said, "Look, Rebbe, we did what you said. We didn't ask publicly. But the answer was right there in the Gemara. Why didn't you answer him?" So he said, when he asked the question, Rabbi Kiva Eger said, "When the fellow asked the question, I realized that the answer was very simple. And I realized that if I would answer him, he would be embarrassed because he would see that his question was so obviously answered right in the next line of the Gemara, and he would feel terrible. And I started going back and forth in the sugya of Talmud Torah to see whether or not continuing the shiur was something that trumps embarrassing the fellow, or whether or not I should spare the fellow's dignity and not continue teaching. And at the end, I didn't know what to do, so I said, ich weiß nicht, I don't know, and I had to stop the shiur. In any case, we continue on. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein etzanin lo akazayit min hamet. We do not mark an area if there is a kazayit, which, by the way, is metame be'ohel, a kazayit of a dead body, of the flesh, v'lo'al etzem kiso'ora, and not if there's a bone the size of a barley bean, which, of course, the minimum, barley beer, which is the minimum size, v'lo'al devar shenu metame be'ohel, or anything else that's not metame be'ohel. So we have to figure out why, for those two, the first two, which are metame be'ohel, we don't mark. Al metzanin al shidra, we do if we find the spine, the al gugolet, or a skull, al rov binyan, v'al rov binyan amet, or a majority of the skeletal structure of the mate. Right, those things are matami be'ohel. The ein metzanin al havada'ot, you don't mark an area where everybody knows, and it's for sure that there is a dead body there. A metzanin al sfeikot, only for the areas of doubt. We'll discuss why in a minute. Ve'elu al sfeikot, what is a sfeik? Schachot, schachot is branches that come out. Ufraot, praot are pieces of rock that come out from the wall. Uveta pras, we'll discuss what beta pras is in a minute. Alright, we're gonna analyze all of this. You don't put the tziyun right where it is. Shalolaf sida ta taharot, because then somebody will get too close with some taharot in their hand and they'll become tameh. Vein marchikin tziyun vimkom tuma, you don't go too far away. Shalolaf sida teret Yisrael, so you shouldn't have too much of an area that people can't walk in. So in other words, you go a little bit away, enough so that when somebody sees it, they can stop and not cross the line and become standing over where the tuma is. The concern, of course, is that somebody will be walking with some taharot in their hand, and they will then stand over a significant enough amount of the mate, which will then create an ohel. They themselves will be the ohel, and then the taro will become tameh. That's the concern. No, so now, that's the brayta. Let's take a look at it. The first thing is, since one is a kazayit, not metameh ba'ohel, right? We have this mishnah in Ohalot, the beginning of the second parak. Says a kazayit min hamet is metame. So our papa hachav a kazayit mitzumtzam askina. We're talking about where there's exactly a kazayit now when we find it. So mitzvah chaser, and of course it's decomposing, it's flesh. So the time anybody would come, there's going to be a tiny bit less than a kazayit. So mutav yisufu alav truma v'kodshim l'fi sha'ah. So it's better that if for the next 5 minutes somebody comes, or the next day somebody comes, and as a result some of the stuff becomes tame that they were carrying. V'al yisufu alav le'olam. But we don't, once we mark it, it's permanent. And remember, in a day from now, there's going to be less than a kazayit, which is not metame. So, all right, we'll forgo what happens during the day, today or tomorrow or the next week. But we don't want a permanent. We only want something that permanently is going to be there and is always going to be a problem of tuma. Ve'elon asfekot. Schachot tufrot. What is schachot? Ilanam esechal aretz. That's a tree that has branches coming out all over in all directions, cut and shades the land. Praot is avanim praot ha'otzet min hagader. That's rocks that are sticking out of a wall. In other words, the problem is that we have a tree, and we know that underneath one of these branches there's a mate, but nobody knows which branch it is. So we mark that tree. The same thing, there's a wall, and there are rocks sticking out of the wall that creates the ohel, just like the branches. And underneath one of the rocks, there is the mate. So we have to mark, or the shidra, or whatever, and we have to mark it so that people stay away from that wall. Beta pras. What's beta pras? K'dinan achoresh et hakever. If somebody plows an area where there's a grave, harehu oseh beta pras. That creates now beta pras. So beta pras can happen in one of several ways. One of them is if an area where there's a grave is plowed. The other is if there is a grave somewhere in a field and it didn't get marked and we don't know where it is in the field. Achamahu oseh, meloma ana mea ama. So what do? If you plowed it and you knew there was a grave there, and you plowed it, so you take a 100 amah length, the width of one furrow, because that's what you plowed, and you declare that entire place a beta pras, which is now tamei misafek. Right? Uveta pras mi metame be'ohel, but since when is beta pras metame be'ohel? Beta pras is only rabbanim because of safek. Since when is metame be'ohel? Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Menapeach adam beta pras ve'olech. If you're in a beta pras, you can just blow ahead of you to blow out whatever the tumah might be in front of you and continue walking. All right? So let's say that you got taharot, or you're going on your way to the Beit HaMikdash and you want to eat kodshim, you want to do a korban, and you have to go derech Beit HaPras. All you have to do is to keep blowing the dirt that's in front of you, and if you uncover something, then you walk around it. right? Which means that there is no Tumat Ohel. The only concern is Tumat Maga, that you might touch it, but there is no Tumat Ohel. So Yehuda Barami Mishmeidu Ulamar Beta Pras Shinidash Tahor. He even says that if you have a Beta Pras that was plowed under, it's all Tahor. So Amar Papa Lokasha Kam Besadesha Van Bakever Kam Besadesha Nachrash Bakever. Aha, that's the difference. If you have a Beta Pras that had a Kever in it, we just don't know where it is, it wasn't marked, then it really is Matame. If, on the other hand, it was plowed, which means the pieces are now all over the place, then it is not Metame Be'ohel. And therefore, you give him an apeach also. All right? The Sadesh Nachrash Bakera Beit HaPras correlations. When do you call a field that was plowed, where there was a kever that got plowed under, a Beit HaPras? So, Vatanan, we have a Mishnah that says Shlosha Beit HaPras, saying there are three kinds of Beit HaPras. There's a Mishnah at the end of Olot. Sadesh Nevad Bakever, Sadesh Nachrash Bakever, Usdei Bochin. So a field where there was a kever and it got lost, a field where there was a kever, we knew where it was, but it got plowed, and then we have 100 amah, and then Sdei Bochin. So my Sdei Bochin, what is the Sdei Bochin? That's where they bring the Metim to there, and then the official mourners and everything take over from that point and bring them to burial. Because sometimes what may happen is while they're carrying the mate from one far place away and they bring him to the Sdei Bochin, somewhere perhaps a part of the limb, because remember they carried sometimes mate him for quite a distance and quite often there wasn't a whole lot left besides perhaps limbs. In other words, a lot of flesh had already decomposed and limbs were left and people were not paying attention and the piece dropped off and they didn't pay attention. Dafka in that Sdei Bochin. Good. Wait a second, you just got through saying that the only one that needs to be marked because of Ohel is a Sadesh Avad Bakever, a field that had a kever and it got lost in there. But what about a field that got plowed? If you come and find a field that's marked as per our Mishnah, you don't know what's there. Yesh Pa'ila notes, if there are trees, then you know that it is a field that was plowed. And the problem is that there's a plowed grave here. Ein ba'ila note, if there are no trees, bi'adua sha'avad ba'kever, then you know that it was a place where there was a kever, and you don't know where the kever is. But what does that prove? That proves you mark both. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad shi'e sham zakeno tamid, v'she'en akol b'ki'in ba'davar. Rabbi Yehuda says that you don't rely just on those simanim. You have to find a zaken or a tamid chacham, somebody, right, who could tell you, yes, indeed, that marking indicates that there was something tameh there, right? And but the main upshot of this is, whether we accept the simanim alone or not, but that does mean that we do mark both kinds of fields. Good. There it's talking about a field where the kever was lost, and they marked it. If there are trees there, then what does that show you? That shows you that that they forgot it, and they not only originally, in other words, the sequence is different. If you find a field that's marked, what Papa says, that means it only was originally a field where there was a kever that got lost, because that's the only kind you mark. If you then find trees there, you realize that after it was marked, it got plowed, because they didn't pay attention. They plowed it, and then they planted things there. And now you know that that the kever is somewhere strewn around, the bones are strewn around the field, underneath, hopefully. But if there are no trees, that means that it's still in the original state of a kever was lost there. But originally, the marking was only done because it was lost. The kever mi broi. So who says maybe the trees are on the inside of the area and the kever is outside of that, because you shouldn't use the trees as a marker. That's if the trees are standing on the border of the field. If the trees are bordering the field, then indeed you say that somewhere inside of where the trees are. Good. So who says that the tuma is near the trees? Maybe the tuma is in the middle, in between the trees. The answer is b'mesubachin. All right? So we're not talking about a thing where the trees are right around the border. All the trees are all through the field. So that means that somewhere in that area is the kever, parts of the kever. And if you want, I can give you another answer, which is that you do not make the mark too far away. And so therefore, since the mark is right next to the trees, we assume that the tuma is right near the trees. And that's where it originally was. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Achi Hashem Zakeno Tomid. And the bright Rabbi Yehuda said that you can't rely on the Siman Malon. You have to ask somebody who's a Tomid Chacham. And Vishayeno Kol Bikin Madavar. Rabbi Yishmami Natsum Rabban De Ika Mamata Komilin Mata Alei Ramya. That teaches you something. If you have a Tomid Chacham in town, he's responsible to know everything about the town. He has to know not just the halachot, but he has to know where the kvarot are, etc. He has to know where all of these things are, so that he can answer the question. Good. The last piece we're going to do, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Matzah Even Mitzuyenet. What happens when you come to a field and you find a rock that's marked? Not a tree that's marked, a rock that's marked. Tachtea tamei. So that means that tuma is underneath it. Mark means it's plastered. If it's underneath is tamei. Shtaim. What if you find two rocks next to each other that are plastered? In Yeshi banana, if there's plaster between them. So banana tamei, that means that the tuma is between the area, below the area between them. Ain seed benam, but if there is no plaster between them, benam tahor, then if the rocks themselves are plastered, the tomb is beneath each rock, and if not, there is none. And we say that this is true, even if there's no indication that there was anything plowed in between, like how could it be tamei underneath them and tahor in between them? Here we have a brayta that says that if you find two rocks, only if it's plowed in between them is the area between them tahor. If not, then not. So here we're talking about where the rocks are sitting near each other, and the plaster is poured on one particular side, and it's pointing away. And then you know that it's not, there's no tumah. Sorry, it's pointing to each other. If there's something plowed in the middle, then benayim tahor. What happened was originally there was plaster that went from rock to rock, and afterwards when you plowed it, you knocked it out, and that knocked out the area. V'lo seed the veini benihu. But if there is no choresh, then the plaster that's aiming towards each other is the seed that connects them. The last item here is if you come to the field and you find that the borders are marked. So if one border is marked, hutame, it's only on the border where the tomb is. Chosedei kula Torah, the rest of the field is fine. Shnayim heim tmein v'chosedei kula Torah. Shloshayim tmein v'chosedei kula Torah. So if you find one, two, or three borders that are marked, it's only on the border that's marked where the tuma is. The rest of the field is fine. Arba'a, but if there's four borders marked, heim tahorin, the border area is actually okay. V'chosedei kula tmei, the rest of the field inside is tamei. Teramari machikin siyun makom tumash lov sidat Eretz Yisrael. Because we said you don't put the mark too far away so as not to make too much of Eretz Yisrael inaccessible to Taharot. And therefore, they would not have put it on the border unless it was only on the border that was Tameh. However, if the entire field is Tameh, then they have to mark it on all four borders and thus keep everybody away. Tov, we have finished this particular sugya, and tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue on and continue until the end of our Mishnah. And tomorrow we'll deal a little bit with Kilayim, and then we're going to do several other small Mishnayot, until Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, and then we will break for Shabbat. Everyone should have a wonderful day.